Praise God. We are concluding on the Sermon on the Mount. And we got from Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6. And we conclude in chapter 7. And just to draw a brief overall view of this part of the Sermon on the Mount, as we mentioned, these are the teachings of Jesus on life and what we should be, what we should do. And basically, as we look at all three chapters, each one of the chapters focus on a different area, if you look at it. See, in Matthew chapter 5, we emphasize on the heart and how true worship and true faith is from the heart. And it's not just in what we do. See, doing is only emphasized in chapter 7. So you have being in chapter 5, what we are and what we need to be in God. And then out of that being comes the doing, which is in chapter 7. And so you could say that the theme in chapter 5 is that true worship is from the heart. And it's who we are in Him that establishes our worship. That's why no one can come to the kingdom of God except they be born again. Their nature must be changed first in order for God to accept the sacrifice. And then chapter 7 that we're going to consider is on doing. Look at chapter 7 very briefly, and you notice that most of it is emphasized on doing. Even the parables he talked about, the Sunday school parable that many Sunday school children sing all the time in chapter 7, verse 24-27. And there's a song that some of us learn in Sunday school, the wise man built his house upon a rock, wise man built his house upon a rock. Right? And the rains came up, and the rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the rock stands. So he's talking about, Jesus says, those who hear his word and do them. So there's an emphasis on doing in chapter 7. Remember, it is in chapter 7, which means that chapter 5 must come first. The being, and then the doing. So in chapter 5, it is true faith is from the heart. In chapter 7, it is visible through our actions. And the in-between part is where whether it succeeds or doesn't succeed. And you look at chapter 6 that we considered the last week, the whole of chapter 6 seems to talk about money. Possessions, wealth, and money. The whole of chapter 6, it begins with, in verse 1, your charitable deeds. What you do with your possessions, what you do with your with all that you have in this life. It concludes in chapter 6 saying, God will take care of all our needs in this life. And last week we mentioned the Greek word that is found in verse 22, the lamb of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, which is the Greek word haplos, your whole body will be full of light. And we mentioned that the word haplos is in a sense of an abundance. It's been translated several times. And it's a sense of a sort of unity, a singularity. And if those are the meanings, how do we translate it? Here in the New King James, it's translated as good. In the Old King James, in some other translation, it translates as single. But the correct word will be more a singularity of generosity. Of course, it's too big a word to put inside here. But for simple understanding, it's telling us to be generous with a wholehearted and single heart. And so it says, if you're a generous person, and you're generous with your time, with everything that you do, and in your love, and in all your care for people, God will bless you. A generous soul is one that is full of light. If the lamb of the body is the eye, if therefore your eye is generous, your whole body will be full of light. Say, how come? You see, generosity is you turning away from yourself to others. And today science knows that there can be light, but if the light doesn't escape, there is darkness. It is called a black hole. A black hole is not that there is no energy. A black hole, in the scientific definition, is not that there is no light. There is light energy and there is life. There is forces of nature, electromagnetic force there. But the gravitational pull is so strong that the light cannot escape. Thus you see a black hole as what it is, a black hole. And so the opposite of that is where when your light begins to flow out, when you become generous with your tithes, with your offerings, with your generosity, with your time, with your talents, and you use your time, your talents, and all that you have to give and to serve others, light flows forth. But when it's self-service, let's say we use our time, our talent, our possessions and all that we have to keep building the big I, the big selfish ego, we become no different than a black hole. The light doesn't escape. And so that's what it means by the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is haplos, or generous, singularly generous, your whole body will be full of light. Your light will shine far and near. And sometimes people ask the next question, then how is it that sometimes people burn out? They seem to be giving all their energy to others and they burn out. Burn out basically is caused by two factors. One, a person forgets the being, chapter 5. And you are all emphasizing on chapter 7, the doing. See, you can never burn out if you receive more than you're ever giving. If you're receiving more energy than when you're giving out, you can never be burned out. If you're receiving more love than you're giving out, you can never run out of love. Burnout happens when the receiving stops and the giving still continues. And a vacuum is produced. So burnout results when people forget Matthew chapter 5. And they go to Matthew chapter 7 where they are on the doing. So between the being and the doing is the middle chapter 6. And the middle chapter 6, the phrase that we can conclude on that is detachment from the world. Detachment from the world and detachment from self. Why is chapter 6 important and placed between chapter 5 and chapter 7? Well, let me illustrate the parable of Jesus when he talked about the seed that is sown on different types of ground. And that's found in, it's also in Matthew, but let's look at the one in the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, speaking about the parable of the sower and the seed, the passage that we want to look at, chapter 8, and it says here in verse, look at the interpretation part, and it says in verse 11, Luke chapter 8 verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these having no root, who believe for a while, in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. There are four types of ground: the wayside, those on the rock, and those on the thorns, among the thorns, and then those on good ground. three parts of it, which is 75% of it, did not produce anything. And you sometimes wonder, how come Jesus is the same today, yesterday, today and forever? The Word is the same today, yesterday, today and forever. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today and forever. And what is the percentage of our production in God? 75% of the Word fell on ground that is not good for the Word. But only 25% fell on ground that was good and produced. Now notice, when it didn't produce, it had nothing to do with the Word of God. It had nothing to do with the seed. It was not a seed problem. It was an environmental problem. Correct. Because there were four different environments. It was an environmental problem, not a seed problem in this particular case. That means that when God's Spirit work in our heart and place His Word in our heart, that 75% of the problem of what God said coming to pass in our life, the 75% of failure is caused by the environment. Sometimes we allow the environment to exist. And that is why the Bible emphasizes in Matthew chapter 6, all the detachment we need from the world. Because if you notice in the parable, that it has to do with your relationship to the world around you, that determine whether the seed of God's Word that is sown in Matthew 5 will produce to Matthew 7. So the seed is sown in Matthew 5. Matthew 6 says, detach yourself from the world. Matthew 7, the actions. The tree is known by its fruit. The actions will show forth. And the in-between part is the key. The environmental factor of the Word of God. The Bible did say in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, it summarizes the world in this manner and says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not just a side lateral root, but it's the tap root. The main root of all evil. And you think about it. A lot of the wrong things that men and women are doing are because of the love of money. Robbers rob banks because they want money. People are dishonest because they want possessions and money. And a lot of the sin that is going around in this world, pornography, and all the wrong things are existing because people can make money. You take the money factor out, people won't do it anymore. It's for money. For money is the root, the love of money is the root of all evil. It did not say money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. Let me phrase it another way. Your relationship with money and possession will determine whether evil or good exists. Since love is a relationship, our relationship with money in this life will determine whether inherently we are good or we are bad. How we relate to possessions and money. That is why Jesus in Matthew 6 emphasizes, look, we got nothing to worry about. He takes care of the sparrows in the field. He takes care of the lilies in the field. God will take care of us. And God is saying, the true disciple. Now, the reason why we touch on the Sermon on the Mount is this. I believe sometimes after 2,000 years of Christianity, 2,000 years of church traditions have been locked onto us. We forget where our original roots come from. Any true disciple of Jesus must be detached from money and the world. It didn't say you can't have it. It means that it just says that your relationship, how you relate to it, Now, I know some people who hear this message will get angry and upset because they like the things of this world and a lot of fine things in this life.